Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Happy Thursday. Welcome in, and thanks for listening to Grant and Danny. It's January 8th, 2026. We are live in our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard downtown in D.C. You are locked into the Fan. We will take you all the way up to 6:30 this evening. Great show planned for you. 3 o'clock, we're giving away tickets to go see the Capitals later this month. 4 o'clock, we'll give away a pair of tickets to go see the Caps as well. So two chances to win in 1 hour and in 2 hours. And we've got two great NBA guests coming on today. Not a normal thing we do on this show, but it's not normal that the Wizards add a four-time All-Star in a trade, a stud still in the prime of his career, Trae Young, to play point guard in Washington. When and how much we'll see him is still very much up in the air, but ESPN's Bobby Marks, who's a former front office executive, will join us in an hour at 3, and then Joe Varden of The Athletic, who covers the association, will stop by at 5, a blockbuster of sorts. C.J. McCollum, yeah. Corey Kispert going back to Atlanta. I was hoping for picks with Trae Young. We did not get those coming back to D.C., but still a fascinating move for Will Dawkins, Michael Winger, and that Wizards front office.
I'll hit your primer on this super quick, and we can move on to other matters. From a basketball side, there are two silos to look at it. From a basketball side, they are Oklahoma City-ing this thing, talking about Will Dawkins and Michael Winger and company. You've got long, limmy, you know, big striding 2-3-4s that are all kind of interchangeable, right? They want switchability, they want athleticism, they want positional size. They don't have a true point guard. Even with McCollum, they didn't. This is supposed to make it easier for Alex Saar. This is supposed to make it easier for now for Trae Johnson to get more catch-and-shoot looks to create for teammates. You're talking about a guy in Trae Young that has the second highest assist percentage in NBA history behind some guy named John Stockton. It means when he's on the court, the percentage of your teammates' baskets that are scored because of your assist, the second highest all time.
He's a career 10 assist a night player.
Yeah.
Over the entirety of his time in the NBA, he's 25-10. As long as they shut him down this year and he doesn't play much basketball, I can be perfectly fine with this. The entire goal of this season needs to be for them to do whatever it takes to keep their top 8 protected pick. I respect Will Dawkins too much, and I think too highly of this really smart front office, which has been putting on a clinic and continuing brilliant asset management led you to last night and Trae Young to even worry about this yet. But the trade doesn't make sense to me if he comes in here and plays basketball night in and night out for the rest of the year. If he plays very little and you mostly shut him down, and then next year Trae Young is helping Alex Saar get buckets around the rim and pick and roll and helping Trae Johnson off the ball as a two guard who can fill it up, great, no problem. Because next year, after you've added this top 8 protected pick, who could be a star in the missing piece here.
We hope he is, yeah.
Maybe all of a sudden this team is a playoff caliber team. I don't care as much about that next year. Plus, the value of the $50 million expiring contract next season is huge. I don't want to extend him and keep him around. I want him to leave after next year and use that $50 million elsewhere. But that said, my number one concern right now, and we'll talk to Bobby Marks about this at 3, is to make sure he's not coming in here to play this year. You're only got a 2.5-game cushion right now in terms of being in the bottom 4 to make sure that you don't lose your draft pick.
Yeah, I think it's well said. So just type the basketball part of it. So they don't have a point guard. And if he's, he maybe has lost a step or two. At one point, he was a lethal penetrator, dynamite shooter, as good in the pick and roll as anybody you're going to find. He's not as explosive as he was. Some injuries. It's not like he's old. He's 27. But he's not the same player. He's still very useful, very helpful, and can absolutely play and can help you. So that's the basketball part. You touched on the economics part of it. That's why this is brilliant. You moved Bradley Beal, an untradeable contract, and you went through a couple different iterations, and you now have an unbelievable amount of salary cap allocation to one player next year to get you above the salary floor. You don't have to take on multi-year contracts or a bunch of Chris Middletons to get there. You're now above the floor. That's a big deal. It gives you some flexibility. It also gives you that expiring deal, as you said, of $50 million bucks. Either you're a player for the next Anthony Davis, whether you want him or not, that's not what I'm talking about, but the next disgruntled star that wants to go elsewhere, or the next, hey, we can't find anybody to make this trade work, we can make it work, and look at our nice young core that's developing right now. That gives them this kind of flexibility and that buying power through a player that still has some upside and maybe wants to prove something in his second stop. This, to me, is a move that makes a lot of sense.
I really like that they're a commodity of sorts, you know, that they were viewed, first time in a long time, by a player as somewhere that they wanted to go. And you're also now seeing very positive things about them from all of the national pundits. It has been forever.
A long time.
Since that was the case, where you've got a crew on ESPN before an NBA game or on Turner or whatever talking about the Wizards with the logo behind them and saying, look at the job they're doing. Look at all the young talent. This is the next Oklahoma City. So things are trending in the right direction. My hot take here, I do like Trae Young. I think he's a really good player. I think he is less valuable today than he was 2 years ago, 4 years ago.
No question. There's no question, Grant.
I don't even mean because of the quality of the player. I mean because everyone in the NBA can score now.
Yep.
It is the easiest it has ever been to score. So a guy that gets buckets but is awful defensively just matters a little bit less than it used to because it's literally never been easier to do that. It's like a quarterback who gets passing yards. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like when it gets easier to throw the ball, then the gap between him and the average quarterbacks dissipate a little bit. So I'm not as enthralled with the idea of him being here for an extended period of time as like the answer at point guard for 6-7 seasons, but I am perfectly fine with shutting him down this year, having him around next year to help bridge the gap with this young group until the contract expires. But we'll talk to Bobby Marks about this coming up at 3. And again, we've got the Athletic NBA writer Joe Varden on the show today at 5, so we'll get you covered on the Trae Young front. A couple of Commanders things to get to. This was breaking news within the last hour or so. Marshawn Lattimore got arrested last night. The reports coming out of Ohio, where he was arrested, are that allegedly he was driving a vehicle and there is some type of arrest over a firearm. There have not been charges filed yet. In 2021, he got arrested and charged with having a loaded weapon, so this would not be the first time. I'm an innocent until proven guilty guy. So I'll just put a period at the end of that sentence and say, we'll wait for more information here. The Commanders did put out a statement, Danny. They said, quote, we have been made aware of the arrest. We are gathering more information. We've informed the NFL league office. We have no further comment at this time. Here's what I am willing to say at this point. It has very little to do with this arrest, but the arrest certainly doesn't help. It is time to get out of the Marshawn Lattimore business.
Immediately.
He just made it easier for you. Okay? Again, innocent until proven guilty. No idea what happened, whatever I'm supposed to say. From a football standpoint, this was a disaster. I liked the idea of trading for him. I endorsed it when you
did. I was in at the time, yeah.
I did not like bringing him back this offseason and paying him big money, but they did that, and they wanted to see this until the end of the earth because they'd given up some picks, and they doubled down. It ended up being a sunk cost fallacy, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Like, you basically made a bad deal with Marshawn Lattimore two times. They can get out of his contract at no cost,
yep.
No dead money this offseason, or you can bring him back and pay him $18.5 million against the cap. To me, this is the biggest no-brainer decision for Adam Peters and this front office that they will have all offseason. In a sea of big decisions, Danny, OC, DC, pick 7, trade back, stay put, what do you do in free agency? This one is so easy. This is like someone walking past you with an Uncrustable saying, would you like an Uncrustable while you're hungry and addicted to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? It's really simple. Thank you for the time, Marshawn Lattimore. I'm moving in a different direction.
Yeah, they tried. It was worth a shot. I got it. The analogy I've used a million times is you were winning or close to winning a race you thought you'd have no business winning. Like Formula One, which Drive to Survive, everyone should watch on Netflix. Imagine a mid-table type car that hasn't won a single race at any point in time. All of a sudden, you're winning whatever Grand Prix that you consider important. And someone goes, hey, I know you don't have any tires. I got a tire for you. You pay a premium for that. When you're 3/4 of the way through the race and you're winning it, you could win for the first time in decades. So you pay the premium. It didn't work. These tires melted. They exploded. And a couple passerbys were injured and had to go to the hospital for minor treatments. This is what happened. This was a disaster. They should have gotten out of it before this year. They wanted to see it through. You and I were right about that, but that doesn't matter at all.
I don't care about being right. I don't care who was right and who was wrong. This needs to end, though.
It was a disaster,
and
it was time then. It's time now.
And I'm not going to kill Adam Peters for it either, by the way.
No, it made sense at the time.
Yeah, if there is a mistake, I suppose it was the doubling down this offseason when you saw he couldn't play anymore. But I also, to an extent, understand why they did what they did there, by the way. Again, you want to make sure. If you cut him this past offseason, a year ago, and then he is healthy and plays really well somewhere else, you gave up all those picks thinking you were keeping him
around. And it looks terrible.
And then he goes and plays, and you're going, well, we made two terrible mistakes. We gave up the picks, then we had the guy in our building, and we screwed up. So I get why they wanted to just, like, kick the body a couple times and really make sure. But now that the jury has returned its verdict, and I think that has happened, it is a pretty easy one to look at and say, to your point, complete disaster, epic failure.
One of their worst moves, maybe the worst.
Absolutely. And I would have made it too. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just calling balls and strikes. Mm-hmm. This was not just a ball. This bounced 10 feet in front of the plate because I fell down while I tried to throw the pitch.
You hit the mascot, and now I need Tommy John.
Right.
I mean, that's where I am.
This was me doing a Strasburg where I'm shaking my elbow, and the ball hit the screen 15 feet from home plate, you know, over near the on-deck circle. I mean, this was just a complete and utter debacle, but it needs to end. I think it will. There's no reason to assume that it would continue. But now you're talking about an arrest. And this part is not, you know, the end-all be-all, because, again, I don't know what happened. I don't know how serious the arrest is. I don't know if he'll be charged or not. But we say this all the time. Fair or not, this is how the world works. If you are Eric Bickle, it's a little bit different when you work here and you got to make a tough call to the boss than you are the part-timer who has been around for 3 weeks, who is supposed to work at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning to help get somebody on the air, you know, running the board, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're Marshawn Lattimore, when you have been hurt, you're now rehabbing an ACL, you have been bad, and you have caused this executive and this front office nothing but headaches and having to explain themselves for the bad move they made, I can't be having to put out a statement on your behalf now, basically saying, hey, we're going to wait and see because you got arrested. You just don't get that luxury.
Sure. And I think just to echo what you said at the top, these are serious things. They should be treated seriously. That means I'm not passing any judgment. I'm waiting for information to come out. I don't even need the arrest. I got a great football cause.
Well, that's
you
the
know
thing.
What I mean?
We could have done this yesterday.
Yeah.
We could have come on the air yesterday and said, here's a no-brainer. Get rid of Marshawn Lattimore's
especially
contract.
Especially because there's 0.0 cap effects. Keep in mind, in order to keep that flexibility, he counted $18 million against the cap last year, among the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. There were so many guys that signed for less than that played way better. This is a no-brainer. It was then, and it is now.
All right, so that's the bad news for the Commanders, that one of their players got arrested last night. Here is some potentially fun, reinvigorating juice for you. Here is some good news on the Commanders front. Everybody's dream option from an OC standpoint just became available today. The Miami Dolphins fired Mike McDaniel. It sounds as though they're putting their ducks in a row to possibly go after John Harbaugh, regardless of whether they land him or not, because I think there's probably 7-8 teams when this is all said and done, because I'm not sure that there's still not going to be another opening after week one of the postseason that are going to interview and be interested in John Harbaugh. So if I had to guess right now, Dolphins or the field, I would say field. I still don't think he ends up in Miami. But they fire Mike McDaniel. One quarter of the league's teams currently don't have a head coach. 8 of 32 head coaches have been fired since the end of the NFL season. Think about that. Or since midway through this season, because two had already been fired. But Danny, we were told, and I've heard this over and over again from people in the last 2 weeks, you're going to see a lot of teams stick by embattled coaches that are on warming seats because the options in this cycle are not very good. You don't have the Ben Johnson that everybody's seeking. You don't have, you know, these offensive-minded ascending stars that you move mountains to bring in. So the thought was, Schefter did a big piece on Sunday morning before the kickoff of the games this weekend to end the season. He suggested there were going to be 4 openings. We have twice that many. So guys like Harbaugh will get another job in this cycle. Guys like, I would say, Stefanski is almost certainly going to get another job in this cycle. But despite teams not thinking this is a great items on the shelf offseason in terms of coaching candidates, a quarter of the league needs a coach
now.
You
still got the shuffle up.
It's crazy. This league is wild,
yes,
man.
Yes, it is.
The expectations on these guys is insane.
So I'm wondering if some of this isn't, and again, this is maybe my own bias coming in here, so forgive me. The success of, yes, Ben Johnson, who's a guy that everyone sought after, right? Yes, Mike McDonald, someone that everyone sought after, but Mike Vrabel, who was on the sidelines for a year. You know what I mean? Like three new guys in their spots. Now, I know McDonald was new last year, but they were 10-7 last year, missed the playoffs on technicality, and are awesome this year, right? I wonder if that kind of it kickstarted GMs and owners into going, we can't be complacent anymore. We can't do a guy that we have a guy that's pretty good. We have a guy that's fine. You don't have time for that. If one of these, I don't know, break glass in case of emergency guys is available, you have to move mountains, you know? And whether you think someone is or not, you got to see. Maybe there's more urgency there. That's from my Tookus hypothesis, but the multiple different kinds of guys. Because remember, this regime here in D.C. didn't even interview Mike Vrabel. Didn't even call him to say, hi, how's it going? Great, see you later. Not even that. They went in totally different directions. And I think there's got to be some buyer's remorse there. I'm not talking about from Washington, but in general, some owner looking down in Cleveland, for example, I think Stefanski can coach, but bear with me. He's going, we didn't even think about that guy for our opening. We didn't think about this dude that might be the coach of the year that just turned a group that was one of the worst personnel offerings in history with Bill Belichick just bungling things for 6, 7, 8 years. Now they're the one seed of the AFC, or they're not, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering if maybe that's added to the urgency.
My hot take, I don't think it's hot, but I think it'll be viewed that way, is that we are now overrating John Harbaugh, by the way. This is one of those where all of a sudden somebody becomes way more popular. Like, he was on his way to getting blown out before Lamar became Lamar, if you remember, back in around 2020. He was in some trouble when they transitioned out of Flacco. And Lamar saved his bacon a little bit. Now, I think he is a good head coach. I'm not saying he isn't. The results prove that. The proof is in the pudding. His record, his success. He's got a Super Bowl championship. But what you're saying, I don't think is wrong. There might be teams that are blowing guys out right now to get in line to try to get him. Is John Harbaugh on that level? Like, he's not the best head coach in his own family. I'm just not sure if I'd be moving mountains. Would I like him as an option if I had an opening and the stars aligned? Yes. But a special teams leader of men, where you're going to have the OCDC problems as those guys get head coaching jobs that come with that. By the way, the reports are weird out of Baltimore right now. He lost the locker room. Guys didn't want to play for him. Him and Lamar are at odds, supposedly.
Does seem strange.
But a quarter of the league is like fighting over themselves, army crawling over coals to go get this guy right now. I think he is a really good coach. We're acting like he's Vince Lombardi as an industry. I'm a little skeptical of that. But I want to get into Mike McDaniel next. Because immediately when he became available, we all had the same thought. He has coached under Dan Quinn. He has a great relationship with Dan Quinn. He has indeed said that Dan Quinn saved his life, that he changed his life when he was dealing, speaking of McDaniel, with alcoholism.
Yeah.
That it was Dan Quinn who got him on the straight and narrow and basically saved his career. They're very tight. This would clearly be a fit. It would make a lot of sense for Washington. Can they get him here is the question. And I'm going to bring up some possible flies in the ointment that I'm worried about. 800-636-1067 if we want to hop in next. Is this starting to look like it could actually work out really well? You move on from Kingsbury. There's nerves and anxiety that maybe you get left holding the bag and you take a step back on offense as far as coordinators go. Now McDaniel's available. Dream scenario could be playing out here. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back live in the Navy Yard in D.C., we're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Bobby Marks of ESPN covers the NBA on Trae Young, traded to the Wizards. We'll talk to him at 3. That'll be must-listen. You don't want to miss that. By the way, we're giving away Caps tickets in 30 minutes at 3, in 90 minutes at 4. Mike McDaniel was fired by the Dolphins today. He was most people's dream candidate for Washington, dating back 4 to 6 weeks ago when it started to look like he could be out of a job. Because he wasn't fired initially, and because reports over the last few weeks were they were going to stick with him. It looked like they were, by the way, Danny. They fired their GM.
I thought this was over. They moved to the next thing where he's the coach and we're going about our business.
Chris Greer, the GM there for years, got ousted several weeks ago. So it felt like, okay, well, they chose to get rid of the GM, not the coach. And then they benched Tua Tagovailoa. And so by doing that, you felt like, well, they chose him over Tua. Then, to kick off the offseason, they put together this list of GM candidates, which included a few of the guys he worked with in San Francisco. So there were just a lot of the tea leaves making you think they're sticking with him. Supposedly he met with the owner on Tuesday, Stephen Ross, and that meeting didn't go very well. The reason I think that meeting didn't go very well is that John Harbaugh has subsequently become available. Because you know who wasn't originally on the GM list of interviewees for Miami that is now? One of the guys from the Chargers who's working with Jim Harbaugh.
With Jim.
And Joe Ortiz, the former Ravens executive, who has worked with John Harbaugh in the past. Mm. So they added him after the Harbaugh firing. So all you got to do is connect some dots to say they're in the Harbaugh sweepstakes. That said, McDaniel as a candidate for Washington, what's your initial reaction to Commander's job being open and him being available?
This is why you have a private jet. You should already be in the air. Get down there right now. Bring whoever you have to bring. Bring a suitcase full of money. Say, this is just a taste. Whatever you have to do.
This is just a taste.
Stop everything. Stop your dumb meeting.
This
I don't care.
This is an action movie with a drug deal gone.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care who you were supposed to be meeting with. You bring whoever you think the most charming guy in the ownership group is. Bring me Iron. Bring Rails.
That's
bring
Mitch Rails.
Give me Josh Harris to sit in the background and agree, smoking a stogie like in the shadows. Give me Dan Quinn. Give me Peters. Fuel up that jet and get your ass down there and do not let him say no. If you have to hog tie him, if you have to put him on the plane like Bane at the start of The Dark Knight Rises, bring him back to Washington, D.C. That's your offensive coordinator. Take nothing else. Do not let him leave the room under duress. Sign that contract in your own blood. Hurry up.
Would you like to put Jaden Daniels under center?
Like now. I couldn't believe it. And if he goes to be an OC somewhere else, I'll be devastated. I will be so heartbroken. Now, if he goes to be a head coach somewhere else, what can I do?
So that's your first fly in the ointment.
Yep.
I'm not convinced he will be a head coach in this cycle, but I think he'll have the opportunity to be.
He will be again at some point.
Oh, 1,000%. Right? I think I would bet my life on that. He will get a second head coaching job. I actually think he could get an offer in this cycle, honestly. But here's what I don't know. And you just never know this with some of these guys. Like, Cliff Kingsbury could have been a head coach at the end of last season. I still believe the reporting I did, what I heard, was that the Saints' job's his if he wants
it. New Orleans,
That eventually Kellen Moore got, right? Kingsbury has not really been antsy or interested necessarily because he hasn't had to be. He wanted to go to Bali. Then he wanted to do the thing in college. Then he wanted to take his shot with Jaden Daniels. He's been in no rush. And part of the reason why is you're collecting head coach money. Not to be a head coach. He's still making money from Arizona as we talk this second into this football season. In fact, when Cliff Kingsbury gets a job, he'll be being paid by the Cardinals, the Commanders, and his new team. He'll be triple dipping. Pretty damn good gig if you can get it. Does Mike McDaniel want to get right back into the immensely stressful insanity of being an NFL head coach when you have the head coaching money coming in from Miami and you can be a coordinator hanging out with your buddies and deal with less of the stuff that's not as fun? He might just be a guy who wants to do the play calling, offensive savant, drawing on a whiteboard.
Yeah, you find your unicorn, right? Who he doesn't want to be a head coach, which we kind of thought we had with Cliff, at least for a time.
Or like the Cliff style of, you know, eventually we'll coach again because the money's too good and there's only 32 of those jobs and everyone's got a bit of an ego and wants to win. But maybe you don't have to jump back into it right away. So that is possibly how he's thinking. We don't know, though. He might also have just loved being a head coach. That's what he wants to do. So I think my number one, everyone slow down, this is not a foregone conclusion, would be, what if Mike McDaniel gets a head coaching job? Because he's definitely going to be asked to interview in this cycle. A quarter of the league has openings. And who is the offensive play caller that everybody wants right now? Other than Clint Kubiak, there isn't one. Stefanski, who's coming with some baggage. Those are the two offensive minds in this cycle. So I think McDaniel skyrockets up that list. The other fly in the ointment, if you want to talk OC stuff, non-getting a head coach division. And I don't know the answer to this. Is the Washington job the best? I think it probably is because of Jaden Daniels. But I'll give you an example. If he were to go to Detroit to call plays for the Lions, you get to be the play caller.
Yep.
You have an established Pro Bowl caliber top 10 quarterback in Jared Goff. You have a much better offense in terms of talent.
Oh, that toolkit is pretty good.
You've got Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown and a healthy Sam Laporta coming back. They've got to rework their offensive line. But you know you go there and you could have a damn good season. There's just a lot less questions.
Yep.
You don't have a young quarterback doing this traditional NFL offense thing for the first time. It's not Terry McLaurin and the Island of Misfit Toys. You can convince me that that is as good a job. You don't know Dan Campbell. You know and love Dan Quinn. So that should balance things out. Daniels could be the tiebreaker, whatever. The other one is Robert Saleh. Saleh's getting several head coaching interviews this year. Saleh and McDaniel are Jenny and Forrest. Peas and carrots. Yes, he loves Dan Quinn. Does he love Robert Saleh more? You know what I mean? Like, who's his BFF totes? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
And if you go somewhere with Saleh, you're kicking off a new regime. There is no get off to a slow start.
You're not inheriting that much, yeah.
He might not get fired at 0-4 like Dan Quinn might. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So I don't know where they fit in the OC category unless you just look at Jaden Daniels and go, nothing else matters.
Yeah, that's what I
care
about.
I get to work with that guy.
And an overhaul that's coming, right? Part of the sales pitch is going to be, hey, we're not just going to be Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown's, you know, idea. We'll actually go get you some speed. We'll go get you this and that. We'll have a dynamic tight end. Maybe we go get Isaiah Likely in free agency to get you a tight end that can catch and move. You've got a running back. Do you like him? If not, we'll find you something else there. I mean, you basically tell them the shopping list as you want it, kind of like they did for Kingsbury, to be honest with you. Remember, Kingsbury's got outside influence, or outsized rather, in drafting Jaden Daniels. I know that the rest of the scouts, everyone else liked him too, but that was important. He's the one writing the note about Josh Connerly leaving it on Adam Peters' desk. I would give McDaniel the same treatment and then some. What do you like? What do you want? I want him doing the thing that he did in Miami when Devin Achane fell to them, and he's doing spin kicks. Let's do that. Yeah. Find me the guy that makes you do spin kicks, and we'll get it. We'll get him here for you. I mean, you have to woo him at this point because you're right. He will be as in demand as anybody to call plays. Maybe not as a head coach right now. There's a little bit of a stink, I think, because people may be nervous about podium stuff, whether that matters or not.
Weird, quirky personality from a head coaching standpoint.
Yeah, people may not be that excited to jump back into that without more recent track record of success because they did kind of tail off and you know, when he was the darling of the league a couple of years ago, where they're jumping up and beating people and the offense is awesome and every other pass is a deep shot to Tyreek Hill, you know, on a deep cross, and they're just jogging into the end zone for 37 points a game and running Achane around the outside and someone else on the other side, each going for 1,000 yards or close to it. You couldn't. I mean, that guy was Prince of Zamunda getting flowers thrown at his feet. Now that maybe it's cooled a little bit in terms of a head coach, but in terms of a play caller, he gets to write his own script at this point.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. the Odyssey app. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel. By the way, new high-definition, gorgeous cameras being debuted today at the radio station.
It's a big day for your boys.
Thanks to whoever made that possible. We look like we're in the big leagues.
Yeah, look at that.
On television. We've joined the major leagues.
Not just like that thing that you see on Twitter sometimes with like two guys in different locations with their computer cameras like right up their nose. Right. Like one guy's nodding a lot, the other guy's talking. I always want to look better than that. And I feel like we do today.
Grainy.
Oh, thanks, audience.
I don't know why the audience found that so funny.
Well, audience liked it. That was a good thing.
Danny.
Yep.
Are you buying what I'm saying on Mike McDaniel possibly getting a head coaching job?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course, yeah.
Are you buying what I'm selling that there is a possibility the Commanders are not actually the best OC job? It might be the best fit because he's close with Dan Quinn and he wants to work with him. Maybe he loves DQ. But in terms of openings, is there a case to be made Detroit or rolling with Solid or new
gig? Or Baltimore if there's more change and turnover? People might like that.
That's interesting. I wonder like
if Monken eventually is gone.
If, well,
you'd assume he would
will be.
Be
if there's a new head coach.
Right.
So if a new guy comes in there who's not offensive minded to call plays, so that's, you know, you're not getting Kubiak who's interviewing there or Cliff or something. So let's just say.
Like if they bring Anthony Weaver back who they loved.
Right. Or the guy that I just heard was interviewing, so we'll just use him, is Brian Flores.
There you go.
Flores is interviewing with the Ravens and they hire Flores to be the head coach and he says he wants McDaniel to call plays for Lamar. Probably a better spot to get a job next year.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not going like you want on the open market. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Joseph in Frederick on Grant and Danny. What do you make of McDaniel as a possible OC? It feels like it would be a home run for the Commanders.
Agreed. I just don't think that they're going to get him because I think he's going to go to Detroit. Just same thing. Washington's got Jaden. Detroit's got better toys at every other position in the offense. And that Detroit offense has shown that even with a Jared Goff, all those better toys and all those other positions, you can do a lot more things. And that's exactly, I think, what McDaniels wants to do. McDaniels then in Detroit gets to sit off in his corner and draw plays and have a very front-facing guy named Dan to do all the front-facing stuff for him, which now granted he also has a front-facing guy named Dan in Washington, but he doesn't have as good toys.
The offensive options for him to play with, it's plug and play. This is Ronco, set it and forget it. It's Christmas morning. You don't need to take out a screwdriver and open anything up and put in batteries. You just unwrap it. You can start playing with the toy. I mean, he's licking his lips at the possibility of Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, it is, you're cooking with grease right off the bat.
There are a lot of people who could coordinate that offense and have it be really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you got that as a baseline. You called the wrong play. Oops, I meant to say the other thing. That doesn't matter. Jahmyr Gibbs is still going for 30.
I don't think the fact that he was here and got fired by a different owner in a completely different organization matters at all. I've seen people bring that up, like, would he not want to come back? I don't believe that. I'm going to say that's a non-factor completely. That was the Redskins under Dan Snyder. This is a whole different world.
Also, and it was before Franklin. I'm not to be flippant about it. He turned his life around.
True.
You know?
I mean, that didn't have anything to do with him being fired. It was just the whole staff got blown out when they fired Mike. But yes, I mean, he's a different guy now, too. And again, the relationship with Dan Quinn would be the draw. Dan Quinn's here now.
Mm-hmm.
He does have the same agent, Richmond Flowers, that Ben Johnson had when Johnson and the Commanders were doing the interview process and everything blew up very, very ugly. I don't believe Ben Johnson's still repped by Richmond Flowers. I think he's moved on since that fiasco. But McDaniel, very, very close with Flowers, who was on the offensive staff with Kyle and all those guys that I covered here in D.C. as a coach way back then. But he's his agent now. I don't think that would be a factor either, but I know that that was not a harmonious thing at all.
That's a good nugget.
Between Flowers and Ben and this front office and how all that went down. So I wonder, I don't think it would matter, but I wonder if there's anything to that. My guess is McDaniel's relationship with Quinn would supersede anything. 800-636-1067. What a crazy coaching cycle. McDaniel to the Commanders looked dead. We'd kind of moved on from that the last 72 hours.
Because he was staying in Miami. Until he wasn't.
On like Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
it
man.
Is back as a possibility. How would you feel? G&D on the Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
In 15 minutes at 3 o'clock, we're giving away those Caps tickets, and we'll be talking to Bobby Marks of ESPN, one of their top NBA analysts, former front office executive. What does he think about Trae Young being traded to the Wizards? Seems like things are percolating. Wizards have won 7 of their last 12. They're playing better basketball. Alex Saar, dude. Trae Johnson, sharpshooter.
Yeah, both are the real deal, man.
They got some good players being developed. Keshawn George could be the next legitimate X-Factor star, 3-and-D type in the NBA. They got another pick coming down the pike if they don't screw it up in the top 8 this year, and they're not going to. They're going to make sure they get that pick. Could be, if things work out, another real legit impact player, and you add a 25-and-10 career point guard to that.
Yeah, my hope is their best player is not on the roster yet, and it's one of these kids coming out of this unbelievable draft class. If they're fortunate enough, and every Wizards fan knows they're going to get the worst possible pick in the lottery.
Which, by the way, you have to feel pretty good about these guys. I'm not going to tell you Bilal Coulibaly's a superstar, but where they got him, what was around there, Saar at 2 is a gigantic win over what happened at 1.
Yeah.
Trae Johnson falling into their lap and them taking him.
Agreed.
Even though it felt like a no-brainer where they got him, but still, like, they have done a really, really good job with these picks.
Without a doubt.
If they pick 4 or 5 in this draft this year, you got to feel like they're going to do well.
100%. The only kind of mark on their resume, so to speak, is what Denny Abdia is doing, not here. 25-7-7 in Portland. I certainly didn't see that coming, but I don't get paid to. You know, that's one of those, he was here, but the previous regime picked him and we didn't, so we can move. Now, does he fit exactly what they want? Not necessarily,
but
still.
He was becoming that guy when they traded
him. Yeah, he was a 15-7 guy. Now, not assist-wise. I mean, the previous regime couldn't figure out what to do with him. They tried to make him a catch-and-shoot guy, which was wrong. Tried to make him kind of a backup point guard, which is wrong. So for a surprisingly okay Portland team, he's their number one guy. But that's neither here nor there. They're shooting a pretty damn good percentage, talking about this regime here. And you turn Bradley Beal's anchor of a contract and situation into a bunch of cap flexibility and Trae Young and some assets. I'll take it.
Mike McDaniel fired by the Dolphins feels like a top option. As an OC for the Commanders, would also feel like a significant upgrade over Cliff Kingsbury would really be a progressive step if they were able to pull that off to finish off this cycle of hiring in an OC. What do you make of him becoming free? Joe in Germantown, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Got it, bud.
I just wanted to comment on, I know Washington is a good spot. I would love to have him here. But what do you think about if the Ravens would not offer him a coaching job, but an OC job? I know that's kind of been the cart before the horse because they don't have a coach yet. But
yeah, so we just talked about that. If the Ravens go with a defensive-minded head coach, or let's say they go the Harbaugh route again and go special teams guy, and somebody comes over to coach special teams and be their head coach or whatever, then you offer him the job as the assistant head coach and call and plays for Lamar. I would say that that's a better situation than Washington dangling Daniels in front of him, but you still have the trump card of one of his mentors, really good friends, and top confidants in the building, which is Dan Quinn. I mean, that rapport is, I think, what you're using to sell him as much as anything not named Daniels.
Yeah, that would be the best case. And again, a competent front office. Now, I know this year went poorly. I'm aware of that, but you still got a guy that's pretty well thought of and well regarded in terms of Adam Peters, both in player acquisition and dealing with people.
What is his relationship with Peters? They were together in San Francisco.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Jordan Schultz posited yesterday that Peters is meddling with an offensive coordinator, right? Now, I'm not suggesting that at the time of being just the guy that was running the scouting department in San Francisco, he and Kyle Shanahan are butting odds. But what is his relationship with Kyle? We've always assumed it's very close and it's very good. And if it is, then he probably has a really good relationship and would get a nice endorsement to Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
But if him and Kyle ended butting heads because he wants certain guys on the field.
Yeah, he's going, play my guard.
It could be maybe different. I just don't know what their relationship is. I would assume it's pretty good. Let's go to Brian in Herndon, home of the Hornets. What's up?
Hey, Brian.
Grant, Daniel. Hey, good shout-out, home of the Herndon Hornets. Love that. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate
you. I'm actually a graduate, 2002 graduate of Herndon Hornets.
Class of 02? That's the class of 02 Herndon Hornets bell.
Dang, right there. We actually have a bell for that, believe it or not.
We do. We have a bell
for that. It's a different pitch slightly. You have to listen for it.
Are you serious?
No.
Yeah. Every time someone from the Herndon High School 02 class calls
we have a bell.
We ding the bell.
Dude, I love that. Yep. Bring McDaniels home. Love that. What it will take to sweeten the pot, though, and package up Tyreek Hill with McDaniels to burn the top off of all defenses moving forward with him, McLaurin. Come on, man. Let's package that deal somehow.
So that's where you lose me.
If I have a time machine, I'll do it.
He suffered a terrible injury this year. I don't know if he'll be the same or not. Very possibly will. He is a pain in the ass. And he was at odds with McDaniel for much of his time in Miami, actually, this year. So, not interested. He is speedy. I would like to find another wide receiver who is a worse version slightly than him, who's less of a pain in the butt. And then we'll do a package deal. I'll sign off on that. Let's sign off on Bobby Marks educating us on the Trae Young deal, ESPN's NBA analyst on Grant and Danny next.